The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Good. You can be seated. Amen. I'm glad you remember that conversation, because I remember it well. Your pastor is a dear friend and was a mentor to me in the bus ministry and the youth ministry as I served in what would become our sending church at Faith Baptist in Gulfport. And while I was on staff there, I went for a missionary candidate school with our board, and I got to meet a couple of veteran missionaries to Nigeria. When you say seasoned veteran, some are seasoned well, and some are some are difficult. But I came across a missionary that really encouraged me, and then the second one I met with really challenged me. And he said, "How do you know that you're called to Nigeria?" And I said, "Really, I'm not really sure." I said, "I'm thankful. I'm excited about the opportunities to reach a lot of people, and I want to go and work with somebody." And I was really kind of trying to feel out who I might work with. And he said, "Well, we don't need you there." I said, "Really?" He said, "We don't need you there unless you know that you're called." And I just didn't know of anything to tell him. And I struggled with that for a while. And your pastor was so encouraging to me during that time in so many different ways. We wouldn't have pastor's conferences in Nigeria, humanly speaking, without Brother Wells. And when our church was just 2 years and 2 months old in Abuja, Nigeria, he came out and brought three other preachers to a place that he knew not of, and wasn't sure about the accommodations. Neither was I, and we weren't sure who was going to show up. And two of those preachers have come back multiple times, along with Brother Wells. And now we have this. Next year we're planning soul winning and leadership conferences in. And we're just so excited about it. When I was on deputation, your pastor was a great help to me. I used three preachers' mailing lists. My pastor, Brother Dan Carr in Gulfport, my wife's home pastor, Brother Bob Buchanan in Baton Rouge, and your pastor. And I put those mailing lists together. We were in 193 churches in 24 months. We had 110 meetings just in Mississippi and Louisiana. And I have since used that mailing list to help a missionary that has come through here, Guffey. And it's been wonderful to call your pastor my friend. And that conversation that I had with the missionary reminds me of a story that I saw World News was doing about a lady that, or is it just local news actually, a lady had turned 100 years old, and they were doing a story about the fact that she drank a Dr. Pepper every day as she was turning 100 years old. She was still drinking a Dr. Pepper every day. And the reporter asked her, said, "Didn't anybody warn you about that?" And she said, in a sweet Southern way, she said, "Well, I had doctors that warned me about drinking a Dr. Pepper, and they're all dead now, and I'm still going, amen. I'm still on the field, amen." And Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9, and I want to tread over some familiar ground, but I want to tell you tonight how the Lord has kept it fresh and new in my life. Matthew chapter number 9, starting in verse number 35. Matthew chapter number 9, starting in verse number 35. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Father, thank you so much for your word. Help me to teach it and preach it aright, and speak through me. Help me to be an encouragement. Thank you for the blessing that this church has been to our family. Thank you for the friendship that I have with Brother Wells. And dear God, thank you for this privilege to preach behind this pulpit. What an honor. And Lord, I pray that you'll use me. In Jesus' name, amen. In the almost 200 churches that we were at on deputation, 55 of those meetings were missions conferences. In fact, since then, we have hosted 7 missions conferences in Nigeria. We're teaching our people to give to missions. Missions shouldn't stop on the mission field. And we're teaching folks to give to church plants there in Nigeria and unique projects. And we even have a Nigerian that's a missionary in Ghana. But in every missions conference that I've ever been a part of, I've heard this passage of scripture either quoted from or preached about, or it was the theme of the conference. But I want to tell you tonight that this truth and these statements that Jesus made ring fresh and new every day in my life. And I want to show you how tonight. Obviously in this passage we see a teaching on prayer. Jesus said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest. And I enjoy teachings on prayer in the Bible. We see different places where the Lord tells us specifically what to ask for. We're to ask for good things in Matthew 7 and verse 11. We're to ask for wisdom in James 1 and verse 5. We're told in what manner to ask. If praying is asking and receiving, when the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. And we know that model prayer. It's amazing how many times the Lord has to even remind us to ask. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. It is interesting how many times we have to be reminded simply to pray. When we look at this passage of scripture, Jesus had been teaching and preaching and healing in Galilee, and he looks upon the multitudes. He has compassion on them. He sees them as sheep scattered abroad, having no shepherd. I can't fully get into what the Lord was thinking at that time, but I believe that he was reminded that he would not have very long on the earth. That, when we consider the ministry of Jesus Christ, it's just a little over 3 years. And I think he was reminded that he would not have very long. And I think he looked on the multitudes and wondered who would come behind him and teach the people as he had, and preach to the people as he had, and love the people as he had. And he saw them having no shepherd. I remember in the early days of our ministry being very nervous about times like this when I would be in the U.S. We've come back for the birth of each of our children, and we've averaged about 2 years on the field and about 4 or 5 months off. When coming back the first couple of times, boy, I really stressed over who would preach in the church and who would teach in different aspects of the ministry. And the Lord has a way of humbling you at times, as there have been times when I've been in the U.S. and things have worked better in our ministry than when I'm there. Amen. And God raises up people for the work, and it's a wonderful thing. But I can just imagine the Lord Jesus looking upon the multitudes and wondering who will come and who will reach the people. And as he gathers his disciples to himself and begins to teach them just a few simple truths, he does it with a heart full of compassion. I believe he may have even said it with a tear in his eye. As he said, first of all, in verse number 37, he says, the harvest truly is plenteous. It's interesting to note, when Jesus said this statement, the harvest truly is plenteous,
nearly 2,000 years ago, historians will tell you that there was less than 1/4 of 1 billion people on the entire earth when Jesus made the statement, "The harvest truly is plenteous." There's a population bigger than that just in America today. We've got over 300 million people in the United States. There was less than 250 million people when Jesus made the statement, "The harvest truly is plenteous." If the harvest truly was plenteous then, how much more so today? If the harvest truly was plenteous then, how much more so today with more than 30 times the number of people on earth today? More than 1 billion people just in China. Over 1 billion people only in just in India. Over 1 billion people on the continent of Africa. The harvest truly is plenteous, much more so today than when Jesus said it. And the population keeps growing and growing and growing and growing. It's not getting any smaller. The harvest truly is plenteous, but just as true as when Jesus said the harvest truly is plenteous, it's also true that the laborers are few. The laborers are few. It's amazing how we can have a population just multiplying, and yet the laborers seem to get fewer and fewer. Hey, would to God that everybody under the sound of my voice would be a part of the labor force here at Parkside Baptist Church. Hey, we need every. Would to God that the Sunday morning crowd was also the labor force of the church. We need more laborers. But we don't like that term, do we? You know, in the business world or in your working place, the laborer is the one who's usually paid the least, right? You want to be the CEO or the CFO or at least a supervisor, right? Not the laborer. When I was working on staff for 2 years before I went on deputation, our children's church preacher was also the city engineer. And he got me a job with the city engineering department as an engineering aide. I had a big title. I was the lowest person in the engineering crew. I was the guy that they strapped a orange vest on and stuck in the middle of the street during traffic, you know, to make measurements. And if the drainage, the underground drainage needed to be measured or the sewage, I was the one that popped the lid and jumped in. Amen. I was the laborer. You know, God wants more laborers. People that aren't concerned about a title. People that aren't worried about a position. We need more laborers. We need more. Hey, isn't that what we're looking for in the last day? That commendation from Jesus Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. God needs more servants. He needs more helpers. He needs more laborers. But just as true as the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few, the way that this passage of Scripture became real to me is I began to wonder what would happen if Jesus came to one of our prayer meetings or maybe a Sunday school class. I don't know when you may take prayer requests from the floor. Maybe it's a Sunday school class or during devotions in your Bible college or however you do it. In our midweek service, we take prayer requests from the floor, and it makes you nervous as a pastor sometimes to take prayer requests from the floor because every once in a while somebody will show up and want to spend 10 minutes telling about their dream. Amen. And our people love that when that happens because I get easily embarrassed, and they just love to see me turn red. And if somebody starts doing something embarrassing in the church, they'll just stare at me and say, "Pastor, you changed color today." Amen. And they love it. But if we were taking prayer requests from the floor, and if Jesus was in our midst, And he raised his hand and he gave a prayer request. I don't think there's any mystery about what it would be. I believe it would be word for word, Matthew 9 and verse number 38. Jesus would raise his hand and say, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." You see, I don't believe this is just another reminder to pray or a teaching on how to pray. I believe this is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, giving us his prayer request, telling us what would be at the top of his prayer list, telling us what should be at the top of our prayer list, to pray for laborers. Laborers. You see, if we took the prayer request of Jesus Christ and made it our prayer request, I believe it would affect each person involved in this passage of Scripture. Because we see that in what we read, we see the Heavenly Father as the Lord of the harvest. We see that Jesus Christ is the one doing the speaking, and he's speaking to his disciples. That's you and me. And if we would pray for laborers, if we would take that prayer request as our own, it would affect each person. I believe if we took the prayer request of Jesus Christ and made it our prayer request, it would, number one, give the Heavenly Father allowance. Now, as I use that term, I'm not wanting to get into a debate over what God can do and what he's waiting for us to do. But it seems pretty simple to me that if we would pray for laborers, there would be more laborers in the harvest. So I wonder whose fault it is that there's not more. Is it God's fault? Is it our Savior's fault? It's our fault. We're not praying. So many things in the Christian life. James put it this way: you have not because ye ask not. You have not because ye ask not. You can get books on promises of God in the Bible. And my favorite prayer promise in the Scriptures is James 1 and verse 5, where the Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." I love that verse. I love the qualifier of that verse. If any of you lack wisdom. Is anybody perfect in wisdom here? Be glad to turn over the pulpit to you. Amen. If any of you lack wisdom, I've been married now for 17 years. I've been married long enough to know that I lack wisdom. I've slept on the couch enough times to know that I lack wisdom. I won't testify any further than that, but how many times do we get into a situation or go a whole day and we never ask God for wisdom? He says he gives it to you liberally and upbraideth not. That means he'll never rebuke you for asking for wisdom. You'll never have God look down and say, "Why are you asking for that again?" He knows. He knows we need it. And yet we have not because we ask not. Praying for laborers fulfills the requirement for God, the Lord of the harvest, to do what he already wants to do. He is the Lord of the harvest. He wants to send more laborers into his harvest. Praying for laborers fulfills the requirements. Praying for laborers throws open the door. It opens the floodgates for God to do what he already wants to do. He's just waiting for somebody to pray. If we would take the prayer request of Jesus Christ and make it our request, it would give the Heavenly Father allowance. Secondly, I believe it would give the disciple awareness. That's you and me. You see, if we start praying for laborers all throughout the world and throughout Africa and throughout the United States of America, God would show you somebody that you can reach in your part of the world. And he'll give you a burden for people that you can give the gospel to right here. I think sometimes that's why we're afraid to pray for laborers, because we're afraid of what God's going to tell us to do. I remember in Long Beach, Mississippi, when I was growing up, I had a Sunday school teacher as a teenager. He said, "You be careful about surrendering to God. He might send you to Africa." Hallelujah. I are in Africa, and it's wonderful. Listen to me. Don't be afraid about surrendering to God. Don't be afraid to put your life in God's hands. Don't be afraid to pray for laborers. Don't be afraid for the burden that He's going to put on your heart to reach somebody with the gospel. He'll give you a burden for that gas station attendant. He'll give you a burden for that grocery store clerk. He'll give you a burden for that co-laborer in your working place. He'll give you a burden for that fellow student in the classroom. He'll give you a burden. He'll show you someone that you can preach to, that you can labor for, that you can encourage, that you can disciple, that you can follow up on, that you can win to Christ. He'll show you someone that you can labor for. Praying for laborers gives the disciples awareness of the plenteous harvest. He'll show you someone right here in your part of the world that you can labor for. Praying for laborers gives the Heavenly Father allowance. I believe it gives the disciples awareness. And then lastly, praying for laborers gives the Savior His answer. Let's reason for a moment. If praying for laborers, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. If this is the prayer request of Jesus Christ, and I believe it is, I don't believe you can see anywhere else in the New Testament that Jesus Christ gives His disciples a prayer request. And if we would take that prayer request as our own, and we began praying for laborers, and God began sending forth more laborers and giving responsibility to more laborers and showing a burden to more laborers, and one of those laborers happened to be you, you would become an answer to the prayer request of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I like answers to prayer. Amen. I like answers to prayer. This suits an answer to prayer. I got three more. I like it. Last furlough, we came home. It was right after the floods in Denham Springs, Louisiana. My mother-in-law got flooded out of her home, had to be rescued out of her attic. And we had been using her home to store some things that we had left behind in the States. You know, our children. No, I'm kidding. We had been using her home. And, you know, we were just so thankful that she was alive and that the house had insurance and everything was just, boy, it was just all up in the air. And I wasn't about to tell anybody that I don't wear suits in Nigeria because it don't get this cold there. I wear what you're seeing on the video. I've got one suit coat in Nigeria, a sports coat. And when I wear it, our people get nervous. They're wondering who died or which marriage did they forget about that I'm coming to perform or whatever. But I had four suits at the house, and I was coming back, and boy, I didn't have anything to preach in. And an evangelist called me up and said, "Brother Holmes," he says, I know you're thankful that your mother-in-law is alive, but I know you had some things in that house, didn't you?" I said, "I'm not going to tell you." He said, "No, I want you to tell me about it." He called three other pastors, and I had four suits by the next week, and a coat. And I mean, I like answers to prayer. Yeah. But you know what's just as wonderful as answering? Man, I can tell you, I can spend hours talking about this city of refuge and how God has brought in funds for that and people that we've been able to reach. And I mean, churches started. It's been amazing. But you know what's just as wonderful as answers to prayer? It's being an answer to prayer. And any of you that have ever been a soul winner, or you've ever taught someone, or you've ever discipled someone, you know what it is to teach someone or to give someone the gospel and a tear coming in their eye as they say, you know, I've been praying that God would send someone to make the gospel understandable or to make the Bible more simple. I've been praying for someone that could come and encourage me, and God sent you. We have a deacon in our church that every time we have a prayer meeting, we'll do prayer requests first, and then we'll have testimonies next. And just about every week, he'll stand up and he'll say, I want to thank God for my missionary. Because if God sent Brother Holmes to Nigeria for one person, he sent him to this country for me. Now, I don't know if I have to have that to continue on, but it sure does my heart good. You can be an answer to the Savior's prayer request. Every time you give out a tract, every time you preach the gospel, every time you preach liberty to the captives, every time you go on a bus route, every time you knock on doors, every time you stop someone on the street or in a restaurant or at the school, you can be an answer to the prayer request of Jesus Christ. I want to be an answer to that prayer request. Would you bow your heads, please?
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.